The following shiur is recorded, edited, and presented to you by Kol HaLashon. We wish you an enjoyable and meaningful time listening.
Start your day the Torah way, Northwest London, Gimel of Tovshin Pei, Friday the 24th of July, Rabbi Matisio Lawrence, Parsha Theme. Good morning, everybody. I'd like to speak today about something which is connected very much to this week's parasha. It's also connected to the time of year that we are in, the 9 days, and Erev Shabbos Chazon, approaching Tisha B'Av. In this week's parasha, as we enter Sefer Dvarim, so Moshe Rabbeinu starts to recount the events of the past 40 years that took place in the Midbar. And at the beginning of the Sedra, he discusses the event of the Meraglim. The event of Meraglim, as we know, is mainly talked about in Parshas Shlach Lecha, but Moshe Rabbeinu recounts what happened at this time in the history of Klal Yisrael. And what I'd like to talk about is a little bit story, the story of the Meraglim, specifically one aspect of it, which are really the consequences of the events of the Meraglim, and how this has a bearing on the whole of Klal Yisrael's history to this day, and very much relevant to this time of year. So the story of Meraglim, as we know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to take us into Eretz Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to take us into Eretz Yisrael right away. It was not meant to be a delay of 40 years in the Midbar. But Klal Yisrael decided they wanted to send Meraglim, and as we know, this was seemingly because of a lack of bitachon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who promised that Eretz Yisrael was going to be a land which they would firstly be able to conquer, to go into, to settle without any problem, and will be a land which would be the ideal place to be. And Klal Yisrael, for whatever the reason was, many different mafarshim take different approaches as to why it was, but decided they wanted to send ahead the Meraglim, well, known as Meraglim at that point, but since that time onwards, when they came back with a report of Eretz Yisrael, which, besides mentioning the good things of Eretz Yisrael, also mentioned some difficult things. The report had the result, had the consequence that Klal Yisrael cried. The pasuk says, "Parshas Shlach Lecha, Vatisa kol ha'eda vayitnu es koilom vayivku ha'om balayla ha'u." The people lifted up their voice, they cried balayla ha'u. And there's a well-known Gemara appears in a number of different places, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. That this event that took place was Tisha B'Av, or it was actually Erev Tisha B'Av, according to some Girasolos of the Gemara. Tisha B'Av Haya, the Gemara says in Tanis Dachov Tefel Mad Aleph and other places, Tisha B'Av Haya or Erev Tisha B'Av Haya, Omar Lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Atem Bechisem Bechia Shachinom, Va'ani Koivea Lochem Bechia Medoiris. You cried a Bechia, a crying of Chinom, you cried a Bechia of for no reason at all, and I will fix for you, says Hashem, a bechia ledoiros. And there's a similar medrash in Bamidbar Rabbah, where it's going on this pasuk as well, and it says, "Vatisa kol eida vayitnu es koilam zeh she'omer hakosuv." It refers us to a pasuk in Yirmiyah, "Nosno alai bekoila al kein sneisio oisei kol." That voice that you cried out with, that caused you to be sinuim, that caused you to be hated. And then he quotes another pasuk on Yeshaya, from Yeshaya, and we learn from that pasuk, on that day where it was really destined, that Kodesh Baruch Hu was meant to be planting us in Eretz Yisrael, you became like sigim or thorns or some kind of rejected item. Ubaboike zarich tafrichi, adshalay ba hashorav parachtem. Neid kotze v'yoyim nachalo, and Chazal learn On the day which I destined, which I planned to give you nachas avichem, you became a shame in the world. And the Medrash continues like this, similar to the Gemara. You cried a bechiyah shel chinam, a crying for no reason in front of me. I will fix for you a crying for doiris. And from that time, it was decreed that Beit HaMikdash should be destroyed. In order that Klal Yisrael should be exiled levein ha'umos amongst the other nations. There's a pasuk in Tehillim which describes this event, and it says the Kodesh Baruch Hu lifted up his hand in order to literally make them fall into the midbar. That was the gezeira they had to spend 40 years in the midbar, and it uses that pasuk in Tehillim vayisa. And that is similar to the word Batisa Kol Eidah. So the Medrash says, Ulahapil Zaron Bagrim is a Roisim Barotzois, Nisius Yad Kenega Nisius Kol. As a consequence of the people's Nisius Kol, Batisa Kol Eidah, Vidnus Kolam, they lifted up their voices, and Kodesh Baruch Hu acted back towards them, Midah Kenega and Midah, and by Yisra Yodah, he lifted up his hand against them to keep them in the Midbar for 40 years. But as the Medrash says, this was the precursor of the Golos. This is a precursor of the Golos for the future. Now we know that the time difference between Klal Yisrael coming out of Mitzrayim and the event of the Meraglim, which took place in 2448, and the Beis HaMikdash was not built until almost 500 years later. So 500 years before the Beis HaMikdash had even been built, already there is a Gezerah that the Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. It's an incredible thing. We could understand, perhaps, however catastrophic it would be, that if there was a Beis HaMikdash and Kodesh Baruch Hu decided to bring a punishment because of whatever sin had been committed, so you could understand that Kodesh Baruch Hu would bring a punishment and destroy the Beis HaMikdash that existed. But the Beis HaMikdash didn't even exist yet. It wasn't even thought about properly yet. This is 500 years before the Beis HaMikdash was even built. And yet the Kodesh Baruch Hu makes a decree at that point as a result of the Meraglim's bad report of Eretz Yisrael, and as a result of the people crying in response to that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decrees that the Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. So it's almost as though the Beis HaMikdash, or is as though the Beis HaMikdash didn't even have a chance. The Beis HaMikdash, when it was built, eventually built 500 years later, didn't even have a chance to have a kiyum, because there's already a gezeira in place that it should be destroyed. So we need to try and examine this a little bit and how this relates to us. Because we are living 2,000 years after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, by Sheni, and even more time after the destruction of the Bais Rishon. And therefore we need to be able to connect the times that we are living in, when we haven't yet been zeicha to the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, we need to be able to connect that to the initial destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And although we're all aware and familiar with the Gemara, Chazal tell us the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in the times of the Bais Rishon because of Gimel Averus Chamurais, and the times of Bais Sheni because of Sinas Chinam, but yet we see from this Medrash and these Gemaras, which are mentioned in many, many different places, we see that it was all predestined. It was all a gezeira that came from the time of the Meraglim. And how does this have a bearing on us? So I want to digress slightly for a little bit, and then we'll come back to this point and be able to tie these points together. So we don't have a Beis HaMikdash bizman hazeh. We have not had a Beis HaMikdash for 2,000 years. But we have something which is a little substitute for that, and that is the concept of a Beis HaKnesset. Klal Yisrael has had for doirei doirois, for centuries, the concept of the Beis HaKnesset, which is where we daven. And the concept of the Beis HaKnesset is based on a pasuk in Yechezkel. Yechezkel HaNovi receives a nevuah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and without going into the whole background of that nevuah, in Perek Yud Aleph, pasuk Tes Zayin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Yechezkel in a Nevuah, L'chein emor, say, go and say to the people, Koy amar Hashem enikim, ki hichaktim bagoyim. I have distanced them into the nations. That means that the exiles, Klal Yisrael, at that time the exile had already started. V'chi hafitzoisim ba'arotzois. And I've scattered them amongst the nations. This is the time of the Chuban, after the Chuban Bayis Rishon. V'hi lahem l'mikdash ma'at ba'arotzois asher bor shom. And I will be for them, or it was for them, the mikdash ma'at ba'arotzois asher bor shom. And Chazal tell us, the Gemara in Megillah, that this concept of a mikdash ma'at, the Kodesh Baruch Hu says that he created this idea of a mikdash ma'at, I will be a mikdash ma'at for them in the land where they have been scattered, this refers to the botei knesiyos or botei midrashos shebabel. The Gemara in Megillah, Tavchav Tes, Omud Aleph, firstly, it brings a brighter, the Pshim Ba'yuchai Oimer, Boyer Re'ei, Kama Chavim Yisod Lefnei Kodesh Baruch Hu. Come and see how beloved people, the people of Klal Yisrael are in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shebechol mokoyim shegolu shechino yimahem. Wherever they went out into Golas, the Shechino was with them. Whether it was in Mitzrayim, whether it was Bavel, wherever we went, the Shechino came with. And the Gemara continues afterwards, and it quotes that passage from Yechezkel. And the Gemara says, in the name of Rabbi Yitzhak, this refers to the base Rabbeinu Sheva Bobel, and then the Gemara, but prior to that, the Gemara says, in the name of Rabbi Yitzchok, Eidu Batek and Isio Isabati Midrashi Sheva Bobel. In the name of Rabbi Lozer, this refers to base Rabbeinu Sheva Bobel. But Rabbi Yitzchok says this refers to the Batek and Isio Isabati Midrashi Sheva Bobel. So we see that the idea, there's an idea of a Mikdash Ma'at, a mini base Mikdash, which is the base HaKnesses. And that's what we have today. We have a Beis HaKnesses, and this in some way represents the Beis HaMikdash that we had 2,000 years ago. If you look in the Mephoshim on that Pasuk in Yechezkel, the Radak, the Siddur Tovid, the Malbim, they all refer to this idea that it's a place where we can come and we can daven, and the Shechina is there. And although the Kodesh Baruch Hu took away his Shechina from us, from the Beis HaMikdash, but there still is the opportunity somewhat, to a certain reduced degree, to be able to access the Shechina in the Beis HaKnesses. And that really is what a Beis HaKnesses is about. The Malbim points out that the difference is between the Beis HaMikdash and the Shul is that in the Beis HaMikdash, the Shechina was Be'is Galia. The Shechina was in a revealed that everybody could see, whatever that means, we have never experienced it. Everybody could see the Shechina. Everyone could experience the Shechina. Whereas, to the Malbim in the Beis HaKnesses, the Shechina is there, but it's kasio, it's in a covered up way, and we can't really see it, but we should know that the Shechina is actually there. Now, from a halacha perspective, this is not just a nice idea, this is not just a comparison to say that, yes, we haven't got a Beis HaMikdash nowadays, but we've got something, a substitute. This is actually a halacha, because there's a pasuk in the Torah which says, in Vayikra Chov Vav, pasuk Beis, it says, "Es Shabbos Yisai Tishmoiru, Umikdashi Tiro Ani Hashem." You must keep my Shabbos, and you have to revere my Beis HaMikdash, says Hashem. And the Sefarno in that pasuk says that when it says in the pasuk Umikdashi Tiro, that you have to fear, you have to revere my Beis HaMikdash, says the Sefarno, this does not only refer to the Beis HaMikdash, but Hamakomas Hamakudoshim Begolus. This refers to the holy places in Golus. And this refers to the shuls and the Bati Medrash, Afopi Shechorev Beis HaMikdash, even though Beis HaMikdash has been destroyed. And then he quotes that pasuk from Yechezkel and the Gemara in the Megillah. So the Sfarno learns that in Pshat in the pasuk, that even though it seems to be literally referring to revering the Beis HaMikdash, there's a mitzvah to revere the Beis HaMikdash and treat it with tremendous respect, this also refers to the Batei Knesiyos and the Batei Medrashos that we have today. And this is actually quoted Lahalocha, there's a sefer called the Sefer Yireyim, which is a compendium of halachas, quoted very many times by the Poskim. And in the mitzvah of Moira Mikdash, in Siman Tof Tes, and in some editions it's Siman Shin Chof Dalad, under the mitzvah of Moira Mikdash, of revering the Beis
Kol Halashon
HaMikdash, the Sefer Yireyim says specifically this refers to Batei Knesiyos and Bati Midrashayis as well. And he quotes the same Gemara from Megillah, the Pasuk from Yechezkel. And he says, Halacha l'maaseh, the same reverence that we have to have for the Beit HaMikdash, which I think we would all appreciate if we were to step into Beit HaMikdash. If halavai, we had the opportunity to step into Beit HaMikdash, we would have tremendous reverence and respect for it. The same is true for the Bati Knesiyos or Bati Midrashayis that we have today. And that's how the Urayim paskins lahalocha, the Chayei Odom brings us lahalocha in Simon Yud Zayin, Klal Yud Zayin, Se'if Vov. I read out the words of the Chayei Odom, Kedushach Beis HaKnesses Beis HaMedrash G'doyle Ma'oid. The Kedusha of Shul and the Bati Medrash is very, very great. Umus Harim Aleihem, and we are warned by the Torah, Lira, Mimish Shoichin Bohem, that we have to fear and we have to revere the one who dwells in the Batei Knesiyos and Batei Medrash, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kedichsev, as it says in the Pasuk, U'mikdashi tiro, V'loi Beis HaMikdash Bilvad. It doesn't refer only to the Beis HaMikdash, Ela Kol Mokoyim HaMakudosh, any holy place. U'Beis HaKnesses, U'Beis HaMedrash Nikroim Mikdash Ma'at. And the Beis HaKnesses and the Beis HaMedrash are referred to as a Mikdash Ma'at, and the Chayei Odom continues, very powerful words. V'kosvu ha'poiskim, the mitzvah zu lira min ha'mikdash noyeg the Beis HaKnesses Beis HaMedrash mida oraisa. The mitzvah to revere the Beis HaMikdash applies to a Beis HaKnesses and to a Beis HaMedrash mida oraisa. It is a mitzvah mida oraisa to revere a shul. Every time we step into a shul or a Beis HaMedrash, we have the mitzvah of Moira Mikdash. Says the Chayei Odom, V'lachin osur ledaber bahem dvorim b'teidim. It is therefore forbidden to speak dvorim b'teidim. Ve'eim achashvim bahem cheshbonis ela shel mitzvah. You cannot sit down and do calculations unless they relate to a mitzvah. Kegoin kufa shel tzedakah uchadayme. If you were adding up money for a tzedakah fund or similar type of mitzvah activity, then yes, you could do that inside the shul. But to sit down and work out your weekly shopping expenses, you would not be allowed to do in a shul, even though there's nothing terrible about that, but it's a pigia in the kollel and the moira of the mikdash, uchadoyma, or other similar things for mitzvah would be allowed. And because you can she'osra sham b'schoik v'kalos roish, and all the more so, it is forbidden to laugh around, to joke around in a beis hamedrash or beis haknesses. And he then quotes from the Zohar. The Zohar is mafik ma'oid ba'oinshon. The Zohar states tremendous oinshin, punishments, rachman al-itzon. The Kodesh Baruch Hu should save us for not being nizhar, for not being careful in Moira Mikdash as it applies to Batei Knesiyos and Batei Medrash. So, this is something which for us is very, very important because, as people say nowadays, the times that we are living are unprecedented times in many, many different ways. And one of the things that has occurred all over the world, which as far as I know never ever occurred before, was the fact that Batei Knesiyos, Batei Medrash have been shut. And even though now, Baruch Hashem, we are zoicha that many have opened in some parts of the world, but as we know, they haven't opened, they're not able to open in a way which we would call normal. There has to be spacing, and some shuls require masks, etc., each shul according to the guidance of its roles. And in many places in the world, shuls haven't yet opened up at all. And there has to be clearly a powerful message for us. Now, we're not Nevi'im. None of us can claim nowadays to be Nevi'im. And of course, we do not know exactly why HaKadosh Baruch Hu does things. But if we see a situation, and we see that thousands upon thousands upon thousands of shuls and Batei Medrash over the world for 3 to 4 months were completely closed and not allowed in, there clearly has to be some chizuk that we can take out of that. We don't know exactly why this happened, but we can take a chizuk. And the chizuk that we can take is that now that we are having the opportunity to come back to Batei Knesiyos or Batei Medrash in whatever form, but perhaps we have to remind ourselves of this Gemara in Megillah, the Pasuk in Yechezkel, the Sefer Yireim, the Chayei Odom. All these sources which emphasize to us the concept of Moira Mikdash, that when we come into a Beis HaKnesses or a Beis HaMedrash, we treat it with the proper respect and we conduct ourselves properly. And this has nothing to do, really, with talking during davening. Talking during davening is something which is a separate thing, would apply even if the davening was not taking place in the shul. One shouldn't talk during davening. We're not even talking about tefillah b'tzibur. Tefillah b'tzibur can also take place somewhere else. Doesn't have to be in the shul. Obviously, it's better in the shul. We're talking specifically about the din of being in a Beit HaKnesses. It's not related to the din of talking in shul. It's not related to the din of tefillah b'tzibur. It's a din of the shul itself. The same as if a person walked in to the Beit HaMikdash. He's literally walked in, and he would have to abide by the halachas of Moira Mikdash and Kovid Mikdash. The same is true when it comes to our Batei Knesiyos. This includes looking after Batei Knesiyos. That the Beit HaKnesses should look like a nice place. It should look like a dignified place. It should be kept clean. There shouldn't be rubbish left around. There shouldn't be coffee cups left around, which is unfortunate what we see in some places. It should be looked after to remember this is a Beit HaMikdash. This is all we have left of the Beit HaMikdash. We know that the Gemara tells us that in the future, Batei Medrash and Batei Knesiyos, the ones that exist in Chutz La'aretz, will be lifted up and will travel to Eretz Yisrael and will be replanted in Eretz Yisrael. And the Marshal explains, and other Mufashim explain, that our Batei Knesiyos have the Kedusha of the Beit HaMikdash. They have the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. The Shlach HaKadosh says that a person who stands in Shul is like standing in Eretz Yisrael to some degree. And if we realize that, and we realize actually that our Batei Knesiyos and our Batei Midrashos, our Shuls, are going to be supplanted, they're going to be put into Eretz Yisrael, they're going to be put into the Beit HaMikdash and join the Beit HaMikdash eventually when it is rebuilt, B'mheiru B'yomeinu, then we'll realize that actually it's almost as though we're standing there now. It is as though we're standing there now. And that's why it's an important thing to look through the halachas of Kovod Beit HaKnesses, Simon Kufn and Aleph in Or HaChaim. Mishabura brings many, many times the comparison between a Beit HaKnesses and the Mikdash Ma'at. Mishabura mentions it many times in relation to many different halachas of a shul. The Chuvas Michtav Sofer, was the son of the Chasam Sofer, in Simon, Chedek Beis Simon Aleph, a very long, fascinating Chuva. And he goes through the design of a shul. And he talks over there about how we find, one of the points that he mentions, is that there's no specific guidance that we have in Shulchan Aruch as to the layout of a shul. Of course, there are certain things that we have. We have a bima, and we have an Aron HaKodesh, but there's no plan. There's no plan that's given exactly how a shul has to look. But he points out that if you go into any shul all over the world, whether it's Ashkenazi, whether it's Sfaradi, whether it's Hasidish, whatever it is, the basic layout of every single shul is the same. Of course, there are slight differences, maybe cultural differences in the style, the architecture. But he points out that every single shul has a basic layout. How can that be? Why is it like that? It doesn't say in halacha it has to be exactly, but Klal Yisrael took it on like that. Why? Because he says the following thing, that the Beis HaKnesses is built on the model of the Beis HaMikdash. And the whole surah, the whole layout, the whole structure of the Beis HaKnesses is designed in order that we should be thinking of the Beis HaMikdash. The Michtav Sofer writes, Reb Shimon Sofer says the following words. He says, Neda ki loy dovareku. We should know that this is not something which is empty. The imreku mimelu, if it's reik mimelu, then it's something which is me'oimek hamusik v'kotza hasogoseinu. It's because we're not appreciating it. But it's not random. There's no reason why this is the case. And he says there's two advantages, at least two advantages, of a Beit HaKnesses being built on the tzura, on the model of a base of the Beit HaMikdash. He says the following words: Shebeim yiyeh Beit HaKnesses leneged einov tzura tavnis Beit HaKodesh. If when a person is in shul, he has in front of him the tavnis Beit HaKodesh, umizbeach hakutayres, umizbeach ha'oila, yistayenu lekoyach hamadame lahalois zichroi neheichad hakodesh al levoveinu. And what happens is when a person is in a shul and he sees that he's there in a place which is modeled on the design of the Beis HaMikdash and the Mizbeach HaKetores and the Mizbeach HaOil. And he goes through and explains how every single part of the Shul parallels the Beis HaMikdash. What that does is that helps l'koyach hamadame, to a person's imagination, l'halois zichroin ha'heichol ha'kodesh al levavenu. It gets us to remember the Beis HaMikdash, because we forget, we become shakua in golos, we become settled in golos, and we forget the Beis HaMikdash. We're very comfortable, we've got our shul, we've got our Beis HaMikdash, we've got our shtibul, whatever we've got, and we're very happy. But we need to remember that this situation is not an ideal situation, this is a b'dievet situation. It's a situation where we need to remember constantly the Zichroin HaHeichal HaKodesh Al Devoveinu, to make sure that the remembrance of the Heichal HaKodesh, the Beis HaMikdash, is at all times Al Devoveinu. And then he adds a second point. And he says the second point is that by being in a shul which is modeled on the Beis HaMikdash and reminds us of the Beis HaMikdash, Nevoish V'nikolim Mi'avoniseinu, we will be embarrassed and ashamed of our aveiros, asher gomu lanu avdon kol elu hatzayvos. Because of our aveiros that caused us to lose it, and as we said, it's not just the aveiros that existed at the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon and the Churban Bayis Sheni, but it's also and primarily because of the gezeira on the Meraglim, which took place, and they were boicha b'chiyah shel chinam, and that caused us to lose the Beis HaMikdash even before it was even built, 500 years before the Beis HaMikdash was even built, that event took place, and that was the source of the gezeira for the Churban Beis HaMikdash. So by remembering the Beis HaMikdash, when we stand in shul, and we are surrounded by things that remind us of the Beis HaMikdash, says the Michtav Sofer, the Yo'ere B'levoveinu Hishtoitikus Livnois Beis Hashem. It should arouse inside us, inside our heart, a Hishtoitikus, a very, very powerful, strong desire to build the Beis Hashem, to build the Beis HaMikdash, the Heichal Kodshoi Le'osid. And whether it's us who will rebuild it, or the Mashiach who will rebuild it, or Kodesh Baruch Hu will send it down in Hashemayim. We know there's many different sources, and we're not clear exactly how it's going to be. But one thing that we need to do is to try to create the chusim that we should be zeicher to the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. And one of the ways to do that, says the Michtav Sofer, is that we stand in shul and we see that the shul is built on the model of the Beis HaMikdash, and that arouses up inside us a remembrance of the Beis HaMikdash, and it arouses inside us an embarrassment and a shame that still we are still subjected to the Golus because of our Averius, the original Averius that caused it, clearly haven't yet been fixed up. And by that, it creates inside us a positive optimism that we can look forward to a Beis HaMikdash being rebuilt by us taking on board. So relating this back again, and we'll finish with this, to the beginning of the Shia, where this week's Parsha Moshe Rabbeinu reminds Klal Yisrael of the event of the Meraglim, how they lifted up their voices, and they cried, and Chazal tell us it's a Bechir Shel Chinom, and for that it was caused, the Gezeirah caused the decree of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, and the Golos afterwards, says the Medrash Rabbo. And we still find ourselves in that Golos today, and we find ourselves in a situation where we also had a certain destruction of the Beis HaKnesses, although Baruch Hashem they were not destroyed, but they were closed for many, many months, and even now it's very difficult, it's not the same as it was. Maybe we can take on board an idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to take chizuk in the concept of Mikdash Ma'at, in the Moira Mikdash, in preparation for the true Moira Mikdash of the Beis HaMikdash. What we can do at this time is to be mechazik ourselves in the area of Moira Mikdash, and then in Yitz Hashem, B'korov will be zoicha, that we won't have to sit on the floor this Tisha B'Av, we'll be zoicha to the true Beis HaMikdash, the rebuilt Beis HaMikdash. It is a chus of us keeping and being mechazik in the mitzvah of Moira Mikdash. I wish everyone a good Shabbos.
The shiur you've listened to was recorded and edited for you by Kol HaLashon. You're invited to continue listening at any time to all the shiurim and drushos in all topics by all the Rabbanim on Kol HaLashon.